Welcome to my sad, the annual Tisha B'Av Shir, and every year at the Young Israel Vladimir. And every year, I hope we won't have this annual commemoration of Tisha B'Av. My son said last night, imagine if tomorrow morning we wake up in Yerushalayim and we will have the Shir there. So we are here. So we will have some Divrei Hisorus and Divrei Chizuk. Thematic for this mournful day of Tisha B'Av. We thank the Metzger family very, very much for their sponsorship of today's shir on the occasion of the third yahrzeit of Pearl Bas Yosef, Alaha Hashalom, Pearl Brown. May the neshama merit azchus aliyah neshama and zechira letova in the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share this afternoon together. I also want to say brishos my father-in-law who is joining us this afternoon. And is Ima here? My father-in-law who is joining us this afternoon. So I'm going to begin in the Mishnah in Tainis. The Mishnah tells us in Masachas Tainis, Perak Dalet, Mishnah Vav. I'll make sure I turn the mirror quarter. Chamisha dvarim eru es avoseinu b'shivasar b'tamuz v'chamisha b'tisha b'av. The Mishnah tells us that five disasters, five calamities, befell our forefathers on Shivasar B'Tamuz, which is the date that opens up Bein HaMitzarim. And five disasters, five calamities befell our forefathers on Tisha B'Av, which is the other bookend of this period of Bein HaMitzarim. What are the five calamities of Tisha B'Av? B'Tisha B'Av nigzar al avotenu shelo yikansu la'aretz. It was decreed upon our forefathers in the desert they would not enter into Eretz Yisrael. Atem bechisem bechia shachinam tainis choftas aleph anikovei lechem bechir ledoros. They cried because they did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael. You cried a cry for no reason. I will establish a crying for generations. Number one, v'charav habayis barishon uveshnia. The first temple and the second temple were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The fourth calamity of Tisha B'Av, according to the Mishnah, is Nilkada Beitar, which is how I'm going to begin the shir today. Beitar fell. The town of Beitar, the last stronghold in the aftermath of the Churban and the Bar Kokhba rebellion, fell. And finally, V'nechwa Shahair, the city was plowed over. So these are the five calamities that the Mishnah lists as happening on Tisha B'Av. It was decreed upon our forefathers that they would not enter the land, going back to Dor HaMidbar. The first temple fell, the second temple fell, the city of Beitar fell, and finally, Jerusalem was plowed over. And the Mishnah concludes by saying, Mishenichnas Av Mima'atin B'Simcha. When Av begins, when Av enters, we diminish our joy, we diminish our rejoicing. So Chazal, I want to talk for a few minutes about Nilkada Beitar, which is the fourth calamity the Mishnah lists that happened on Tisha B'Av. So Chazal, as well as historical records and accounts, tell us about the Bar Kokhba rebellion and the town of Beitar. The rebellion of Bar Kokhba in the aftermath of the destruction of the Second Temple, the Bar Kokhba rebellion was squelched and the town of Beitar was destroyed in 135 Common Era. So the temple was destroyed, according to some accounts, in 69 Common Era, according to other accounts, in 70 Common Era, which has ramifications. We learned over Shavuos by the count of the Shemitah year. But Lamaisa was destroyed sometime around 70 in the Common Era. In 135 Common Era, on Tisha B'Av, the town of Beitar was destroyed. The Romans, in regard to the destruction of the town of Beitar, did not take Jewish prisoners to sell them as slaves, as they did when they destroyed Beit Sheni. By order of the emperor, they carried out a systematic and calculated genocide in all the territories of Yehuda, Judea. They killed the women, they killed the men, they slaughtered the children. According to the texts of the Roman historians themselves, like Dio Cassius, 50 fortified cities and almost 1,000 villages were completely razed. A total of 580,000 Jews were killed. 90% of the inhabitants of Judea were massacred. So we're talking about 65 years after Churban Bayit Sheni. There was another terrible calamity, a terrible disaster, which I would say that us lay people mourn for less and are certainly less educated about than Churban Bayit Sheni. The final battle of this insurgency and rebellion against the Romans took place in the city of Beitar. Beitar was the most powerful Jewish fortification where Bar Kokhba, the leader of the rebellion, resided with the remaining soldiers, and the most important sage of the time, Rabbi Elazar HaModai, Rabbi Elazar from Modi'in, resided. It was a city of Torah where many people lived. Beitar was considered unconquerable. 80,000 Roman soldiers, some say up to 100,000 Roman soldiers, entered Beitar. They slaughtered the men, the women, and the children until the blood flowed from the doorways and the sewers. Horses sank up to their nostrils in Jewish blood. The rivers of blood, these accounts are from the Gemara and the Medrash, and historians put together in a little synopsis of what happened in Beitar. Rivers of blood lifted up the rocks that weighed 40 seah, approximately 700-pound rocks, were lifted up by the rivers of Jewish blood flowing through Judea in the aftermath of the massacre of Beitar. They flowed into the sea, and the stain of blood from the sea was noticeable for a distance of approximately 2.5 miles. It sounds like Churban Europa. Since the destruction of our temples, this has been a pattern in Jewish history. It is not something new in our day and age. It is something that goes through the millennia. Hadrian had a large vineyard, 18 mil by 18 mil, approximately 11.5 miles. So it's a huge vineyard Hadrian had. The distance between Tiberias and Sipori, and he built a wall around his vineyard. It was 11.5 mile long vineyard. And he built a wall around the vineyard from the hundreds of thousands of corpses of the slain of Beitar. Not a brick wall, not a straw wall, not a wood wall, not an iron wall. A wall of corpses of Jewish bodies. He ordered that they not be brought to burial. The Romans piled this large vineyard. They watered the fields with the blood of the dead. And they left the dead there, a cynical tribute to their victory. It sounds also very reminiscent of the Nazis, Yamach Shmam, who did not allow the Jews to bury the dead, obviously, who left piles and piles of corpses in heaps and heaps. The sages taught that for 7 years, the Gentiles harvested their vineyards without having to fertilize the vineyards, because of the abundant blood of the Jews. We read accounts of the first liberators of the camps out of the depths, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau describes. When the first liberators came in, there were piles and piles of corpses. They did not permit them to be buried. Just as the blood of Europe is stained with the blood of all four grandparents' generation. At that time, the blood of the land of Israel was soaked with Jewish blood. The horses were up to their nostrils from Jewish blood. It's one of the worst massacres and calamities that our nation has known. And Beitar fell on 135 Common Era, 9 of Tisha B'Av. And the Mishnah tells us that this is the fourth disaster of this day. Furthermore, Hadrian would not allow the bodies to be buried. For how long? So when I was preparing the shiur, I saw differences of opinion. Some say he would not allow the bodies to be buried for 3 years. Some say 7 years. And some say 15 years. 3 years, 7 years, 15 years. We know the importance of Kavura Yisraelis. Ayakam Avram al Pnei Meso, immediately after the Bechiyah and Hesped for Sarah, Avram gets up to immediately negotiate a burial portion for his wife. Last night during the Kinos, I was actually here on the outdoor plaza. I think Rabbi Wolf was the one who read 4 chapters, another reader read 1. And I was crying at the end of Echa. Lama lenetzach tishkechenu ta'azvenu la'orach yamim. Hashivenu Hashem. And I was thinking about Hadar Golden and Oron Shaul. Hadar Golden was a chatan. They were in their early 20s. They were captured in the summer of 2014, Mivtza Tzok Eitan. And their bodies have never been returned for Kavura Yisraelis. I was thinking of Ron Arad, who had an infant daughter when he was captured some 40 years ago. And Eli Cohn, our spy in Damascus. And I was crying. Yes, we have made many mistakes. Yes, Golus is difficult. Yes, we are sinners. Isn't it enough, Ribono Sha'olam? Hadrian would not allow the corpses to be buried. Hundreds of thousands were slaughtered. The land of Israel flowed with the Jewish blood. And yet the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, Amar Rav Nachman says, Moshe tikein l'Yisrael birkas hazan. We say the Birkas Hamazon, race after meals, when we bench. And each of the brachos was composed at a different time in Jewish history. So Moshe Rabbeinu composed the bracha of Hosanna Sa'olam Kula Betuvo, and the man fell down. Yehoshua tikein lahem Birkas Ha'aretz, Kevan Shanichnasu La'aretz, Yodalech HaShem Elkeinu, Al Shichatol Avoseinu Eretzchem, Datova Rechava. Yehoshua was Mesach in the bracha of giving thanks to Hashem for Eretz Yisrael because he led Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. David and Shlomo tiknu bonei b'Yerushalayim because they were the ones who built Jerusalem. David tikein al Yisrael mecha v'Yerushalayim b'recha u'Shlomo tikein al bayis ha'gadol ha'kadosh. David HaMelech instituted, you can go today to Ir David, and Shlomo HaMelech built the temple. So the Gemara tells us in Mimeseches Brachos 48b, Mem Ches Beis, about the institution of Birkas Hamazon. What about the bracha of V'hatov V'hamitiv? B'yavne tiknuha k'neged haruge beitar. B'yavne tiknuha k'neged haruge beitar. You know what they said k'neged haruge beitar? Baruch hatov V'hamitiv. Baruch hatov V'hamitiv. Maybe a baruch tayin ha'emes. Maybe darchei Hashem kulam tovim velo kulam mevunim. Say Rabbitson Kanievsky, alayal sham. Baruch hatova hametiv, does this sound like something you should thank God for? Hundreds of thousands of Jews have been murdered. The streets are flowing with Jewish blood. You can see it, the stain in the sea for 2.5 miles. Hadrian's 11.5 mile vineyard is surrounded by Jewish corpses. Three of my grandparents were married before the war. My paternal grandfather had three daughters, Golda, Leah, and Ita. My maternal grandmother had one daughter, Rivka Bracha. And my maternal grandfather had one daughter, Devorah. Baruch hatov v'hametiv. B'yavne, tiknua k'neged harugei beitar. Ta'amar Rav Masna, also hayom, shenitu haruge beitar lekvura, the day that the haruge beitar were allowed to finally be buried, tiknu biyavne hatov hametiv, hatov shelo hisrichu, v'hametiv shenitu lekvura. Baruch hatov, that the bodies did not decompose and stink and become rotten, v'hametiv, that we can bury them. Did you ever stand at the pile of ashes in Madanek? I was there, and say, Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. I don't think so. Maybe they should have declared a day of national mourning on the day the dead were brought to burial. Was it 3 years later, 7 years later, 15 years later? And instead of a kina to Beitar, a cry to Beitar, a yom tefila v'tzom to Beitar, the sages composed a prayer which is a blessing of thanks to God. The Mishnah concludes, Chamisha dvarim eris avaseinu b'shivasar v'tamas, v'chamisha b'tisha b'av. What were the five calamities of Tisha b'av? Like we said, nigzar al avaseinu shel yukansu l'ares, charva habayis b'rishonu v'shniya, that's two, Nil kedabeitar v'nechusha ha'ir. And how does the Mishnah conclude, if you remember what I said? Mishenichnas Av Mima'atin Besimcha. When Av begins, we decrease mourning. Now, maybe the Mishnah should say, when Av begins, we snuff out mourning. We have no happiness. Mishenichnas, I'm sorry. When Av begins, we should snuff out all joy. The Mishnah says, Mishenichnas Av Mima'atin Besimcha. Mima'atin Besimcha does not mean we eradicate Simcha. It means we have somewhat less of Simcha. If we have somewhat less of Simcha, that means that we still have to have some Simcha. Otherwise, the Mishnah would say it, Mishenichnas Av, I don't know, we don't participate in Simcha at all. But there is a paradox. There is an inherent contradiction in the human condition. At the same time that we can mourn and be sad for something, we can maintain a level of simcha and rejoice and thanks. While we mourn and diminish joy, the implication is that some simcha still exists. Every year, I prepare the shiur. I want something new to talk about. And I really didn't know this year what I was going to be speaking about. I knew I had to prepare a shiur, but I didn't know what was going to be new, what I could speak about that we haven't spoken about already. The beginning of last week or the week before, I thought about this idea, this contradiction in the human condition, which is that Tisha B'Av teaches us that paradoxically, avelus and simcha, mourning and joy, tears and laughter, can and do coexist in every human being and in our national journey. Risa Rotman, Mrs. Risa Rotman, my friend from Har-Nof, whose husband was murdered in the Har-Nof massacre, Shem Yikom Damo. Risa Rotman writes in her book, Tara and Amuna in Har-Nof, people would see me and wonder, how can she be happy at someone else's simcha? Her husband, Chaim Howie Rotman, Zichron Levracha, was not one of the first Kadoshim immediately killed. If you recall, there was one Kadosh who remained in a comatose vegetative state for a year before his Petira. That was her husband. And she writes in her book about her experiences of going back and forth from the hospital to rehab to the home, from the hospital to the home to rehab. People would see me and they would wonder, Risa Rotman writes, how can she both be so happy when she attends a simcha? They do not know the secret of the way I conduct my life. I lived in the moment. Simply put, if I was at Chaim's bedside, then that's where I was. If I was taking care of the kids, then I was their mother. Going to a wedding meant I was at a wedding, letting the happy occasion penetrate my soul and reflecting joy outward. About a month earlier, I attended a wedding of the daughter of a close friend and neighbor, a refined young lady who waited quite a while to find her basher. Someone saw me dancing and smiling at the wedding, and so she assumed that Chaim was doing much better. No, not at all, I told her. In fact, Chaim is very ill. He has ongoing fever. She gave me a look. How can you be so happy? And Risa said, if I'm at a wedding, then I'm at a wedding, not in the hospital. And if I'm in the hospital, then I'm in a hospital. And I'm with my children, I'm with my children. This is not only something, it's been something I've been reflecting a lot on recently. This is not only something that is relevant to the Haruge Beitar and the institution of Birkas HaTova, Meitiv. Clearly, on the one hand, we mourn for Haruge Beitar. That's the day of Tisha B'Av. It's one of the five disasters. On the other hand, every single time you recite Birkat HaMazon, you should have in mind what the bracha is for. It's also something we all face in our own lives. This contradiction of simcha on the one hand, and struggle, I don't want to use the word avelos, that's very extreme, but struggling on the other. Joyous times, mixing with difficult times. Rabbi Soloveitchik says in one of his essays, there is no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. And yet at the same time that we all face difficulties, real challenges, struggles and strivings, We have much simcha in our lives for which we must give thanks. This is a necessary part of the human condition, that we can feel conflicting emotions at the very same time. We can be besimcha at a simcha, and we can have pain of our hearts over a difficult time. You see this very idea going back to Kriyas Yamsuf. Go back to Perek Yudalad and Tesvav and Bishalach and Shemos. At the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, it's very famous. Bikshu Malachai Hasharis, Lashir Shira Lefanav. The heavenly angels wanted to say, thank you, God, the Mitzrim Ardremli. They wanted to sing Shira to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu hushed them, and he said, famously, Ma'aseh Yadai Tovim Beyam Va'atem Omrim Shira Lefanai. The work of my hand is drowning in the sea. It's necessary for me to kill out these Egyptians. How can you be singing Shira when human beings are drowning and dying? And yet, every single day in Psuka de Zimra, what do we say? Az Yashir Moshe Vinesha Sashira Zosashem Vayomu Lemer Ashira Lashem Kigalga Susvarachva Rama Vayom. It's from Shemos Perek Tesvav. How could we say Az Yashir every day? How could we sing Shira when the Malachi Sharsh are not allowed to sing Shira? God told them, no, don't sing. You're not allowed. And yet Knesset Yisrael was given permission to sing Shira. It's a song of thanks to God. But the Malachi Asharis were not allowed to sing because Ma'aseh Yadai Tovim Bayam. So if Ma'aseh Yadai Tovim Bayam, then Tovim Bayam. And if they're not Tovim Bayam, then not Tovim Bayam. But which is it? Yes, Shira or no Shira? Mourning or rejoicing? Kinos or Shira? Sadness or happiness? You've never been through a happy time in your life where simultaneously you feel pain over another matzav. Rav Soloveitchik speaks about when his wife died, and then it was Purim. It was Tainis Esther, and he had to mourn, and he had to sit on the floor. And then it was Purim, and he had to get up and rejoice. It's the paradox, the inherent contradiction, the reality of what it means to be a human being. On the day that the Haruge Beitar were buried, Tiknu B'yavda HaTova Meitiv. They were burying hundreds of thousands of Jews. Men, women, and children. And they were rejoicing over the good that God gave them. And this is what Tisha B'Av teaches us. Why were the Malachim forbidden to sing, but the Bnei Yisrael were permitted to sing? It's a well-known vart. I was listening to a shiur a couple weeks ago by Rabbi Surya Malitsky, and he quoted in the name of Rav Elia Meir Bloch from Taos. It's a very well-known var. An angel is one-dimensional. They do not have a multitude of contradictory emotions. They don't have emotions at all, but ein malach echad osteh shtei shlichos. They can do one thing and one thing only. They can feel kaviyacha one thing and one thing only. So they couldn't sing Shira. Either you're happy or you're sad. Either it's Shira or it's kinnis. Either it's simcha or it's avedas. It can't be both. But a human being is not like that. So while at the same time we could mourn for the fact that God's creations were drowning in the sea, we could rejoice and be happy at our own salvation. For a human being, duality of emotion is not only not a stira, not a contradiction. It's the normal coexistence of paradoxical emotions within our very humanity. I'm going to repeat. For a human being, duality of emotion is not only not a stira, it's not only not a contradiction. It's the normal coexistence of paradoxical emotions within our very humanity. It is a truism we all experience as we journey through life. We face nisyonos. We face painful challenges, perplexing situations that may cause us grief. And yet we can still rejoice from other situations in our lives that bring us simcha. I just saw, my father sent it to me, that the day that the senior Islamic Jihad, one of the Islamic Jihad terrorists was just killed, was the day that Miriam Peretz, she just had a new grandson. And this terrorist who was killed was responsible for the fighting that caused the death of her second son, Eliraz. On the same day that we commemorate, that you remember, it's such a painful day for me, the terrorist who was responsible for the death of her second son in 2010. There's tremendous simcha over the fact that a new baby has been born into this family. The Pasuk tells us right at the end of Parshas Bereishis and Perek Vav that Hashem saw that the ways of man upon the earth was very corrupt. And Hashem regretted, so to speak, Vayinachem Hashem ki asa asa adam ba'aretz. Hashem regretted, he had a change of heart that he created man. And Hashem said, I will destroy man that I created. From man to beasts, to creeping, to birds of the heaven. I am sorry, I regret. I have a change of heart that I created man. Man was created, and in the 10 generations from Adam and Noah to Noah, we became very corrupt. Mankind, humanity became corrupt, and God said, I'm going to destroy mankind. And the Pasuk says about Hashem, Kaviyachol, Vayit atsev el libo. He was sad in his heart. It's an anthropomorphic quality being assigned to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He was sad, so to speak, in his heart. So Rashi tells us something very impactful. God mourned, nit'abel al avdan ma'aseh yadav. God mourned that he had to destroy the works of his own hand. And then Rashi tells us the following ma'isa. Goy echad, there was a certain non-Jew, a Gentile, sha'alas Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Rashi records, it's Rashi to Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav, and Bereishis. Rashi records a conversation between a goy echad, a certain Gentile, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. So the guy comes and he says, Ein atem modim shakosh baruch hu roa esanola. Don't you Jews admit that God sees the future? He sees the outcome of his actions. Amar lo hein, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said, yes, God sees the outcome of his actions. Amar lo, so the guy said, v'haksi v'yit atseva libo. So how could the pasuk say, God regretted, God was sad, God had a change of heart in his heart? If he knew that man was going to become corrupt, why did God create him in the first place? Why does he need to be sad? Why does he need to have a change in heart? So don't create man who's going to become corrupt. What's the point, said the goy to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said to him, Noladecha ben zachar yamecha. Did you ever have a child born to you in your lifetime? So the goy said, hey, yes. So the Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, Uma sisa, what did you do when you had a child who was born? So he said, Samachti, v'simachti esakol. I rejoiced over the child that was born, and I had everyone rejoice along with me. I threw a big party when my son was born. Amar lo v'lo ha'yisi odesha sofal v'mut. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said to this guy, didn't you know that the boy would ultimately die? Why are you rejoicing? He's going to die. No one gets off this earth alive. No one has a long-term lease in life, so why are you rejoicing? Maybe you should have a Venus when the child is born, because now the clock starts ticking to 120 years when he's finished. Amar lo. The guy said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, "Bishas chedvasa chedvasa." In a time of joy, we rejoice. "Bishas evla evla." In a time of avelus, we have avelus. Amar lo, said Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, "Kach maaseh Hakadosh Baruch Hu." So are the deeds of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Even though it is revealed before him that in the end man will sin and they would have to be destroyed, he did not prevent himself from creating them when necessary. Bishas chadvasa chadvasa, ubishas evlasa evlasa. Risa said, people would look at me and they would say, how could she be happy? How could she be at a simcha? How could she be at a wedding? Her husband is lying mortally, gravely, critically wounded on the brink of death because a terrorist axed him in the head with a meat cleaver. How could she dance at a wedding? Because a human being is not one-dimensional. We are complex. We are full of emotion. That's how God created us. You can have chedva and chedva, evla and evla, and sometimes you can have chedva and evla at the same time. It is a condition we all experience in our personal lives and in our national journey, going all the way to the Haruge Beitar, 135 Common Era. They were slaughtered. Hundreds of thousands of Jews. And that three years later, or seven, or 15, when they were given permission for kavura, they rejoiced. They went to hundreds of thousands of levayas, and at every levaya they said, Baruch atov ha'metiv. How? This is the essence of Tisha B'Av. In the afternoon, we get up. We recite Nachem. We sit on chairs. We can go to the supermarket. What's Tisha B'Av? Is it a day of Avelis or a day of Nechama? Is it a day of mourning or a day of rejoicing? We don't say Tachanu. Tisha B'Av, the Yom Hamar V'Hanimhar, the bitter day, saturated with bitterness. What is the essence and nature of this day? How do we understand the paradox within the day? The Pasuk tells us in Eicha, Kara Alai Mo'ed Lishbar Bachurai. There are multiple references in Eicha to this idea of Mo'ed, multiple psukim in Perek Bet, when we have this idea of Mo'ed. Kara alai mo'ed l'shbar b'churai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called a mo'ed to smash my young men. Mo'ed, on the one hand, denotes that Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning that God called upon to destroy Am Yisrael Kaviyachol, not entirely. And on the other hand, mo'ed in the Torah and the Chumash is a joyful time. How could you call Tisha B'Av the most mournful day on the Jewish calendar? You're a mo'ed. Mo'ed generally denotes a day of rejoicing. Ge'en Mo'ed. Mo'edim l'simcha. Mo'ed tov. And yet the very same day that is the height of our Avelus, our national Avelus, we remember all Churbanot, all desecrations. We read through the Kinnos. Those cities that were slaughtered by the Crusades, the German Mekomos Torah that were wiped out. We have Kinnos to the Shoah. The day is called a Mo'ed. That means that the essence of the day itself is one that teaches us this very lesson, the very paradox of being a human being. The same time we can rejoice is the same time we can and do and must feel simcha. B'shas chedvasa chedvasa u'b'shas evla evla. And those two divergent, opposite emotions often exist within ourselves. They're not different times, but at the same time, we can feel the contradiction. This is not a stira. It is the grandeur of what it means to be a human being. So into which category of moed does Tisha B'Av belong? But the Pasuk calls Tisha B'Av a moed. Is it referring to a sad time, an avelistic time? Or in some way, to some degree, a simcha-filled time? Rabbi Zev Radman, he taught me in Mechalah many years ago. Rabbi Zev Radman writes, there is a disagreement between the Rambam and the Ravid about the status of various parts of Tanakh after the arrival of Mashiach. The Rambam, Maimonides, based on a Yerushalmi, says that after the arrival of Mashiach, all Tanakh will be nullified and will not be studied anymore. The Ravid learns Yerushalmi differently. The Torah will still be studied in private but not in public. There is an unusual sefer on Megillas Eicha, which I was not familiar with until I prepared today's shir, called Alon Bachus, or Alon Bachut, the Tree of Crying. It was written by a mekubel in Italy a generation before the Ramchal, Rav Binyamin ben Eliezer of Reggio, 1651 to 1730. He lived before the great Ramchal, and he wrote this sefer on Megillas Eicha called Alon Bachus. Is anyone familiar with it, just out of interest? Have you heard of the Sefer? I had never even, by show of hands, anyone? Yes? No? I had never heard of it until I was preparing this year. What is the fascinating aspect of this unusual commentary to Eicha? The Alon Bachus explains Eicha in two diametrically opposed manners. One is the classic explanation of Eicha, mourning the Churban and the result of the Churban. The second is a parallel work where he explains Eicha as it will be learned after the arrival of Mashiach, when it will no longer be a kina, when it will no longer be a lamentation, it will be a song. Eicha itself contains within it the paradox of what it means to be a human being. Tisha B'Av is called a moed. A moed is good, a moed is bad. A moed is simcha, a moed is a velus. A moed is binyan, a moed on Tisha B'Av is churban. How could the same day be called a moed? Moed has two different implications. How could the Alon Bachus, the Kabbalist who lived a generation before the Ramchal, understand that Eicha is both a lament and B'Yemos HaMashiach, a song? How could Risha's husband be laying mortally wounded in a comatose state and she could be dancing at a wedding? All of you, think of times in your life when you have been called upon to rejoice and simultaneously you are going through something difficult, painful, whether it's in the moment or over the long term, lingering pain or new pain. Says the Rav, it was very hard for me. My wife died on Tainis Esther. I felt like a part of myself went into the grave with her. It was a Thursday. And then it was Purim. And I had to get up. And I had to rejoice. And I had to put on my shoes. This is what the halacha demands. Tisha B'Av represents the humanity experience. The experience of an Eved Hashem. Divergent feelings can and do coexist within our very selves. Rabbi Zev Radman writes, one can express the idea in the following way. If on the happiest day of the year, Purim, we read part of the Megillah to the tune of Eicha, then when Mashiach arrives, we will read Eicha to the tune of Megillah's Esther. One example of what Rabbi Radman quotes of the commentary of the Alon Bachus. The Pasuk says, and I just thought it was interesting that this is a Pasuk that he chooses to explain, because this is Miriam Peretz. She says, since the fall of her children, Uriel and Eliraz, Shem Yimkom Damam, she says, this Pasuk from Eicha has become her personal mantra. The Pasuk says in Eicha Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ma Adamelach, Haba Yerushalayim, what can I call to testify against you? What can I compare you to, the daughter of Jerusalem? Ma ashavalach, what is equal to you? Va'anachamech, and I can comfort you, the virgin daughter of Tzion. Ki gadol kayam shivrech, mi yer pelach. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea, the shpar. And he shoveret et hakisei, which I am not really doing, means I'm breaking the chair. The Eicha, the Pasuk says, ki gadol kayam shivrech. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea. Miriam Parrot says, there are a few meters that separate between the graves of my son Ariel and my son Eliraz. And every time I go to Har Herzl, where my family and I were zocha to be, and we stood at the grave of the Parrot's boys in the summer of 2019, she says, if I go to Ariel first, I hear Eliraz calling me. And if I go to Eliraz first, I hear Uriel calling me. Ima, come stand with me. She says her personal mantra, since the falling of her two boys, is ki gadol kayam shivrech. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea. Mi yer pelach, who can heal you? However, the Alon Bachus gives an alternative explanation. Shever doesn't only mean brokenness. It means something else. It means food and sustenance and hope. If you look in the narrative by Yosef and the brothers, the root word shaver, shin bet resh, is used repeatedly to describe hope and sustenance and food that Yosef provided and that Yaakov understood existed in Egypt. Shaver is broken, and shaver is life. So the Alon Bachus on Megillas Eicha gives an alternative interpretation of ki gadol kayam shivrech miyir pelach. For your sustenance is as great as the sea. Ki gadol kayam shivrech, your sustenance, your existence, the eternity of Knesset Yisrael. Why are we still here? How many churbanot have our people faced? How many destructions? How many piles of corpses around Hadrian's Vineyard and the like? How is it possible that any of us are still here? This is the greatest miracle of world history. Ki gadol kayam shivrech, the very lament, the very cry, the very kina, the very tear. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea, says Miriam. Which grave shall I go to first? Uriel, who was killed in 1998 at the age of 22, or Eli Raz, who was killed in 2010 at the age of 31. Ima, come stand with me first. We were at their graves. We stood there. And yet, says the Alon Bachus, Ki gadol kayam shivrech, your hope, your sustenance is as vast as the sea. Your existence is eternal. Mi yir pelach, who other than the Ribono Shel Olam can heal you and give you life? Is Tisha B'Av a day of brokenness? Or a day of Ro'o Ra'isi ki eshever b'mitzrayim? Says Yaakov Avinu, I have seen that there is food in Egypt, but in Ruach HaKodesh, the spark told him, there is hope in Egypt. Shever is to be broken. We are broken. We are mourning. We are in a national avelos. But paradoxically, we appreciate the hope of the sustenance of Knesset Yisrael. How is Megillas Eicha interpreted? In two levels. One of sadness and one paradoxically of joy. What is the day called? A moed. What's a moed? On the day the Haruge Beitar were given for Kavura, the sages institute a Birkas Hagomel. A Tova Meiti. This is Gevaldik. Gevaldik? Have you stood by the pile of ashes in Madanik? A human being is a very complex creation. The angels could not sing Shira because they feel Kavyachal, one thing. You can't feel both. So if they're drowning, you're mourning. That's it. But not so in Eved Hashem. We do not deny the difficult times in our lives. But at the same time, we rejoice for the beauty and gratitude to God for the simcha in our life. So I looked up this Alon Bachus on the verse that calls Tisha B'Av Moed. The verse is in Echa Perak Aleph, Pasuk Tetvav. And the Pasuk says, Sila kol abirai, Hashem bikirbi. The Lord has trampled all my mighty men in my midst. Kara alai mo'ed lishbar bachurai. God called a mo'ed, an appointed festival, to smash my men. The Lord has trodden as a winepress the virgin daughters of Israel. So we see that Tisha B'Av is a mo'ed. So today's a mo'ed. Am I in a velus or not? Do I have to sit on the floor? Can I sit on a chair? Is it sad or should I recite Tachanut? Is it terrible or should I say Nachem? Which is it? It's both. Why? Because that's a human journey through life. And that's our national journey at Bias Gol Tzedek. We all have the capacity to feel both. So what does the Alon Bachus say? Kara alai mo'ed lishbar bachurai. By the way, it's not lost on me that lishbar bachurai is the same root as shever. He called upon me an appointed time. Lishbar bachurai could either be to smash my young men or to give sustenance to my young men. So listen to what the Alon Bachus says. It is well known, he says, from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, that when a tzaddik dies, it is a kapara for the generation. Achein lefamim tzaddik meis, however, sometimes a righteous person dies, and it is not for the atonement for the generation. Sometimes God desires that righteous person up above. He brings a proof from Chanoch. Also going back to Parshas Bereishis. Chanoch was a tzaddik, and God wanted him in Shemayim. And so sometimes, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the death of a tzaddik, it is not a kapara for the generation, says the Alon Bachus. However, kishahu ba'ofen zeh yesh lamala hilula. When a tzaddik dies in this way, there is above a rejoicing, it's a festival, v'simcha, and a simcha. So at the same time that there's mourning for the death of the righteous, there's rejoicing for the death of the righteous. Kemo shenamar bazohar b'misas Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, hilula de Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. V'zaus ha-misa einenet kala kaparas ador. And this death is not for the atonement for the generation. Rak siluk lios lamala. God takes this person to be above. V'az ba'emes lamala hilula v'chagiga. What is it? Is it sad or is it rejoicing? Down here we're crying. Up there they have simcha and hilula. V'zeh shenemar kara alai mo'ei b'shpor bachurai. God called upon me in an appointed time to smash my young men. Rotze lamar sheyesh lamala mo'ed v'simcha. V'im kein eino l'kaparas hador. The Kala Havin. This very idea that Simcha and Avelus can be mirrors of each other, can reflect each other. That we can, on the one hand, Ivdu as Hashem b'Simcha bolufana birnana, and on the other hand, Bishas Evla Evla. And the most famous narrative that the Gemara tells us right at that very end of Maseches Makos, you are all familiar, Makos Chof Dalet Amud Beis, about Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues. Hayu olin liYerushalayim, kevan shegiu laharet sofim karu bigdeim, they tore kriya. They came to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva lived at the time of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. He supported Bar Kokhba. He lived in the aftermath of the Khorban. He saw he was ultimately murdered by the Romans. We read about him in the Kinnah this morning, about the Asar Ruge Malchus. And they came to Jerusalem, and they saw Jerusalem in ruin. Karu b'dem, they tore Kriya. Kevan she'igil arabayis, ra'ushu asha yatza, mi'beis kodesh ka'kadashim. And they come to Arabayis, and there's a fox prowling. The place where the Shekhinah dwelled, Kaviyach, in this world. Hishchilu hein bochin. They're crying. Rabbi Akiva mitzachek, and Rabbi Akiva's laughing. And you all know the story. Why are you laughing? Why are you crying? The place that a stranger should not enter, fox is prouder, we shouldn't cry. That's why I'm laughing. If I see Churban, I know Binyan will come. So you all know the Gemara. There's not that much to add to the Pshat. Rabbi Shai Shechter shared with me last week, The Maharsha says, what's the godless of Rabbi Akiva? The same time that he tore Kriya, he laughed. It fits in exactly with the premise of today's shiur. Is this a moed of Churban and Avelus? And in Shemayim, they're having Simcha and Hilula. On the day that the Aruge Beitar were buried, hundreds of thousands of Jews, men, women, children, Tinoko Shabbos Rabbanan, Atamidei Chachamim, Eishos Chayim, Hatova Hametiv. Which one is it? What is life? What is the secret to our existence? What does it mean to be an Ever Hashem? She saw me dancing at the wedding, and she assumed that Chayim was better, and I said, oh no. Chaim's mortally wounded. Chaim's in the hospital with fever. Chaim's about to die. So how could you dance? B'shas chedvasa chedvasa. U'b'shas evla evla. But sometimes the chedva and the evla coexist at the same time within yourselves. How could it be that Rabbi Akiva tore Kriya? What's Kriya? It's the greatest sign of mourning. What's laughing? The greatest sign of rejoicing. Was Rabbi Akiva sad or was he happy? Was he saying to the heavens, what have you done? Or was he saying, I have the ability to be besimcha and my avodah is Hashem? Says the Maharsha, it's both. At the same time that you can mourn, at the same time that Tisha B'Av is a mo'ed down here, it's a simcha up there. The same day that we sit on the floor, we sit on the chairs. over Churban. And for Rabbi Akiva, it wasn't something happened in 1900 years ago. It was something he saw. Har Bais was still smoking. Karu Bigdehem. He tore Kriya. And yet, Rabbi Akiva Mitzachik. Because we can mourn for the present and rejoice for a hopeful future. We can cry that hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed. The horses were up to their noses and the blood stretched for 2.5 miles in the sea. Like Churban Europa. Like my grandparents' generation. Like my 5 half-siblings who were murdered by the not siblings, my parents' half-siblings murdered by the Christ Nazis. But a Jew must feel simcha and moed. The ability for Rabbi Akiva Mitzachik. In Sefer Bereishis, in Perek Mem Aleph, Yosef is in jail with the butler and the baker. And they have dreams. And they're very distressed over their dreams. Perek Mem. Mem Aleph is when he is already rushed to Malchus. Perek Mem. And they have dreams. And they're very distressed. Vayavo olim Yosef baboker, vayarusam vihine zoafim. They're so smutten upon him. They're aggrieved. They're upset. So he says to the father and the baker, let me ask you a kasha. I see you're very upset. Why are you upset? Oh, we had a dream. We don't know the interpretation. Why are you upset? You know who Potiphar was according to Unklus, the chief executioner of Egypt. I ask you a question. If you found yourself in jail, the chief executioner of Egypt, because you did a sin against Paro, how would you feel? Would you feel happy? Wow, Baruch Hashem, I'm in jail with the chief executioner. You'd be terrified, crying for your life. Of course I'm upset. The kasha isn't, why are you upset? The kasha is, why are you Yosef with a saver panim yafos? Do you understand where you are? You've been here for 13 years. Why am I upset? Why are you happy? Madu pneichem ra'im hayom. What are you talking about? Yosef was able, he was not happy about his matzav. The fact that he asked to be remembered and not forgotten right at the end of Perek Mem proves that he wanted to get out of there. But he still understood that the tafkid of a Ben Yaakov, of a Bas Yisrael, of a Jew, is to balance out the fear, the pachad, the nisayon, with rejoicing. And then I was saying to myself something amazing. Who is Akiva? Akiva ben Yosef. Akiva was Akiva ben Rabbi Akiva. The same Rabbi Akiva who tore Kriyan who laughed is Akiva ben Yosef. Akiva who went in the ways of Yosef at Tzaddik. So the most fascinating biblical personalities, one of the most courageous, one of the strongest. You could be sad. He cried repeatedly, Yosef. Benjamin comes down, he cries. The brothers come down, he cries. Father comes down, he cries. Father dies, he cries. He's always crying. But he also knows, Halola Elokim Pitronim. It's not up to us to figure out God's cheshbonos. There is so much confusion. There is so much uncertainty. There is so much fear in this terrible, long, and bitter galus. Why have Adar Golden and Oran Shaul not been zochet to kavur Yisraelis? Why were the Haruge Beitar not buried? Why is there a pile of ashes in Madanet? Eicha, how could this have happened? Kara alai mo'ed lishbar bachurai. God called upon us in appointed time. Down here we mourn, and upstairs it's a simcha and hilula. Part of the day we sit on the floor, part of the day on the chairs. It's a velus, we don't recite tachman. It's a hard day, we say nachim. I'm going to end with an unbelievable Gemara that I heard in the shir by Rabbi Soriel Malitsky. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, when someone's parent dies, Meis Avi v'hu Yarsha, someone's parent dies, B'tchila Omer Baruch Dayan Emes. In the beginning, when the father dies, he says Baruch Dayan Emes. U'l'basov hu Omer Baruch HaTov v'hamitiv. And at the end, So when the father first dies, he says, Hadayin emes. And then in the week of the Shuva, he says, Atova mitiv. What's going on here? Says Rashi. Why does he say Atova mitiv? Al basuras ha-yerusha. Shenish aralo, yerusha me'aviv. It's unbelievable. We have the ability to be sad and to mourn and to cry and to tear. And we have the ability to appreciate the brachas that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us in our lives and to have simcha. Basaru meis aviv, Eitalma's father died. V'yarsho, komer, hiniach nechasim. He left you some possessions. You're getting an inheritance. Baruch Hashem. Tisha B'Av is a mo'ed for both Avelos and Simcha. Because that's the human experience, that's Jewish destiny, and that's what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Madua Penechem Zo'afim Hayom. Akiva ben Yosef was able to tear Kriya. At the same time, he was able to laugh. Hatova Hameitiv B'Yavne Tiknua Keneged Haruge Beitar. To Amar Rav Masna, also Hayom, She Yitnu Haruge Beitar the Kvura, Tiknu B'Yavne Hatov V'Hameitiv. We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kapitel Kuf Beis of Tehillim, Ba'ata Hashem La'olam Teshev, V'zichrucha L'dor V'ador, Ata Tokum Terachim Tzion, Ki Eis L'chenina, Kiva Mo'ed, Ki Ratzu Avadacha Es Avaneha, V'es Afora Yechaninu, Alavai Be'ezer Hashem, Mishu B'zocha to the only Mo'ed Tov, the BS called Sadek and Binyam Baishlishi. Thank you so much, Besuras Tovus.